to the preaching and teaching ministry of Marion Oaks Assembly of God in Ocala, Florida. We invite you to open your Bible as we join Pastor Tim McIntyre for today's message or Bible study.
As I was preparing my message for this morning, my mind was brought back to when I was a child and into my teenage years. And during that time of my life, one of my fondest memories of many is being part of the Boy Scouts. And I really loved the program. I loved being involved because my dad was involved with me. My brothers were all involved. And we did a lot of fun things. But one of my favorite things was going on the camp outs. And we went camping once a month. I mean, very seldom did we miss a month going camping. And this is up north. We went camping in the snow. Usually if it was pouring down rain going into the weekend, we would postpone the camping trip. But if it just said that it might possibly rain, we went anyway. So we went camping in the rain, and we had a great time. And there's a couple of places we went camping, but our favorite place was down on the Ohio River. Our scoutmaster's brother owned a farm there. And we would go down there, and we would park in this cow pasture at the bottom of a hill. Now, this is not a Florida hill, okay? This is a Kentucky. It was in Kentucky, a Kentucky hill. And in Kentucky, a hill can go almost straight uphill for like a quarter of a mile, all right? Here, that would be a mountain, but, you know, we don't even have anything that high here in Florida. But our favorite place to camp was up on the top of this, quote, hill. And so we would get there early in the morning. We'd leave Cincinnati early in the morning, drive down to Kentucky, and we'd park, like I said, in this cow pasture, and we would hike up this hill. And you probably can understand this. We had to carry everything we brought with us. See, well, why didn't we camp at the bottom of the hill? Well, we could have camped in the cow pasture. But at the top of the hill was this really nice pond, lots of great trees. It was a really, really cool place. And so that's what we do. And it was really interesting because when we got to the spot and we parked the cars, you could tell who had been around the block, so to say, a few times and who were the new scouts. Because the people that had been around the block a few times, they had their backpack packed nice and tight. They put it on their back, went up the hill one time, and they were done. The new scouts, they would get out, and their pack would be top heavy, and they'd be leaning all over, and stuff would be hanging off, and they had this big cooler, and they had all this other kind of stuff, and they would struggle up that hill and say, now I got to go back and get the rest of my stuff. It probably didn't take more than one camp out to learn, you know what? You just pack what you need or what you really, really want, and that's it, okay? Well, this story leads into what I want to share with you today in the fact that we've been talking about running the race. We started this last week. We're going to finish next week, just a real quick, short three-week sermon series called Run the Race. And even though I was referring to camping and hiking, a lot of the principles are the same. And as we're looking at running the race, we find, as we mentioned last week, that Paul in particular, but also others in Scripture, compared the Christian life and living it and going through the difficulties and experiencing the joys and the frustrations and the hardships in times of feeling like you're going to give up. They compared it to a race. And this race that the Christian life is compared to is not a sprint. It's not something we just take off, go as quick as we can, and thankfully very, very soon we're going to be done. It is a marathon. It is something that's going to last the rest of our lives. We need to pace ourselves. And so we've been looking at this passage to see the comparison between a race and the Christian life and what we can do to run this race well. And so, as I said, the series is called Run the Race, and it comes from Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 to 3. So let's read through that right now and take a look at what the author of Hebrews says about this. Again, the background is Hebrews chapter 11, and in Hebrews chapter 11 is when the writer of Hebrews has this whole chapter on heroes of the faith, men and women of God who faced tremendous challenges, who were very human and made mistakes, but yet, all in all, along the way, for the most part, they trusted God and they were commended for their faith. And so the writer of Hebrews starts this next chapter by saying, therefore, Since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely. And let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured from sinners such hostility against himself, so that you may not grow weary or faint-hearted. So the writer of Hebrews says, you know, all these men and women of faith that I just listed, we've got all these people who are witnesses to the fact that God is faithful. They are witnesses to the fact that they were able to make it through everything they faced with God's help because of their faith in God. He says, since we're surrounded by so many people that have gone before us, so many witnesses that says, I did it, you can do it too, then let's give it everything we've got. Let's run this race with endurance, which is going to be the topic next week. Let's run this race with endurance. And to do it well, there's certain things that we need to do. And last week, we talked about run the race for the joy. And we looked at Jesus as an example, just like the writer of Hebrews says. Let's look to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, the one who paved the way, the one who helps us finish, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, the shame, all that kind of stuff. It wasn't the joy of the cross. There was no joy in the cross. Jesus didn't look forward to that, but he looked forward to what was on the other side of the cross. And that's what we talked about last week. If you missed it, you can go back and watch it online or listen to it. But basically, we said the same thing should be for us. Thankfully, there are many joys in life, but there are many hardships, there are many sorrows, there are many difficulties, and there may be times that we as believers feel like giving up. Is it really worth being a Christian and living that life? That's exactly what the Hebrews were facing. They were Jewish Christians who were facing such tough difficulties and persecutions. They were thinking about leaving Christianity behind and going back to their Judaism and giving up on Jesus. And the author of Hebrews writes and says, don't do that. Jesus is the answer. He's the ultimate fulfillment of everything God had planned. But we know that we face difficult times. And so we run the race, and our goal, the thing we keep our eyes on, is Jesus. But just like Jesus, we look for the joy. We live for the joy. And can I tell you that if you do it right, and I'm not trying to come down on people who don't have the joy right now, because we all face those times, we can still experience the joy even in difficult times. When we do like Jesus did, we look beyond the difficulty to the joy on the other side. And for us, that would include the results. In other words, these difficult things we're going through, they're going to bring about good results in our lives and in the lives of other people. Also, the fact that it is the relationship that we have with God that grows stronger and stronger, and then also the rewards that we'll receive one day for serving God faithfully. So that was last week. And today, the title of the message is Laying Aside Every Hindrance. As we run the race, we do it for the joy, and next week we do it with endurance, but today we're looking at laying aside every hindrance. And the phrase comes right out of verse 1, where the writer of Hebrews says, as we're running this race, let us also lay aside every weight, some translations say hindrance, and sin which clings so closely, so we can run with endurance the race that is before us. So, what is it that we need to lay aside? Going back to my story I started out with, you learn very, very quickly, if you're going to hike any distance, you need to make sure you only have in your pack what you really need and really want, because you're going to have to carry it. You know, that was really great preparation, because at one point in my experience with the Boy Scouts, when I got older, we had a group from our troop that went to New Mexico, to the National Boy Scout Ranch, Philmont. 214 plus square miles of wilderness all through the mountains and such. Camps all over the place. And we had to train ahead of time, and we had to get ready. We had to know what we wanted to take, because once we headed out, we couldn't get anything. We had to take everything with us, all of our food. We went 70 miles in 10 days. Okay? Camp to camp to camp. And they had different camps that were different themes. They had the one that was like a lumberjack camp, and we did log rolling, did all kinds of crazy stuff there. They had another one that set up like a ranch, and they had, you know, all kinds of rodeo type stuff. I mean, just wonderful place, wonderful experience, but you had to be ready. And as I said, you had to know what you wanted to take and what you didn't, and all that kind of thing. And you know, our life is like that. So many times we try to go through this life and trying to live for the Lord, and we're carrying a bunch of baggage that holds us back, that holds us down, that keeps us from experiencing that joy that we talked about last week and reviewed here just a couple months ago, and that keeps us from being able to really persevere and make some progress. And so that's what the writer of Hebrews is talking about. We've got to leave all that baggage behind. We've got to get rid of it. We've got to get rid of all this stuff that holds us back. And he breaks it into two different categories here. And that's what I want us to look at this morning. He says, first of all, lay aside every sin which clings so closely. And now I know that in the text that's the second one that's mentioned. But I'm wanting to talk about that first because that's easier to define. And once we get that defined, it'll be easier to define the second category, okay? So he says, if we want to run this race and we want to do it well, we want to make it to the end, we want to finish strong, we want to experience joy along the way, we want to be effective, we need to lay aside every sin which clings so closely. That's the English Standard Version. The New International Version says, the sin that so easily entangles. Another translation says, the sin that so easily ensnares. And the idea is this sin that hinders us by kind of wrapping us up and tripping us up and pulling us away. And kind of the picture here is, as we mentioned, Paul's thinking, or the writer of Hebrews, and then Paul, when he talks about it, he's thinking of the Olympic Games and the many races that they would run. And, you know, in their day and age, their common everyday garment was a tunic, which was like a long undershirt that went down like to your knees. And basically he's saying, listen, you know, you can't run this race with a loose flapping tunic that's going to get all wrapped up around your legs and it's going to hinder you, it's going to bind you up, it's going to trip you. And I couldn't help but think about some of the styles that there are today. You see some of the styles of things that people are wearing, say, if they ever had to run 10 feet, they'd fall flat on their face. You know, wearing their pants down around their ankles. Anyway, no, you know, I'm not mocking, I'm just saying, okay, the idea there is you can't run in something like that. And you ladies know that some of the things you love to wear and you look so wonderful in, you would not want to run in them, okay? You got to have the right thing. And so he compares that to something you're wearing, right or wrong, whatever, but it's going to trip you up. It's going to wrap itself around your legs. It's going to hold you back. It's going to slow you down. And he says that, he compares that to sin. Now, you have to understand, he's talking about things here that are black and white issues. Things that God has made clear in his word. What is right and what is wrong. What is sin and what is not sin. And God's word is very, very clear on that. On the most important things in life, God has a very clear message to share. And many times people get this idea, and it's an idea that our enemy would love for us to believe. It's an idea that's very popular in our culture and out in the world. And that is that God is just up there and he wants to spoil our fun. And that's why he says we shouldn't do these things and we should do these things. He just wants to spoil our fun. As I've told you many times, that's not the case at all. I mean, there is fun, there is pleasure in sin, the Bible says, for a season. But God made us. God knows what's best for us. And he knows that even those things that we enjoy now, we want to do now, or sometimes in cases we want to avoid those things that he does tell us to do, that that's what's best for us in the long run. Because he sees that sin destroys. As I've said many times, it's not like God was up in heaven looking down saying, they're having way too much fun. Let's give them a whole bunch of rules and regulations to spoil their fun. But from heaven, look down and through history, seeing all that would destroy the people that he loved, he says, let's give them some understanding, some instructions, some principles, some rules, some guidelines to live by so they don't destroy themselves. So they don't get involved in things that seem wonderful right now, but down the road is going to cause so much trouble. That's what sin's all about. I like this description. It entangles, it ensnares, it entices. It's something that reaches out to grab and to try to pull down. And God says, I don't want that for you. I don't want that for you. I'll be honest with you. I have a hard time as a pastor, as a believer, just as another Christian, I have a hard time understanding people who claim to be Christians. And I'm not saying they're not Christians, okay? But claim to be Christians. And they ask for God's blessing on their life. But they are living in deliberate sin. And they know it's sin. They're deliberately, knowingly disobeying what God has stated to be what is best and right and true and good in a certain area. And yet they think everything's okay. Because right now, everything seems okay. Whether they think that they're the exception to this principle that rules the universe, or whether they think that somehow they can get away with it. And unfortunately, many times down the road, they pay a price in difficulty and in discipline. God is a loving heavenly Father, and as a good, good Father, He will discipline His children because He loves them so much, just like we would discipline our children if they get off the path. And they're still under our authority. And we know that if they continue on that path, it can lead to destruction. We will discipline, which doesn't mean punishment. It means to bring back into alignment with. And sometimes it does involve punishment. But if we love our children, we will do that because we don't want to see them destroyed. And God will do the same thing. It shows the importance of two principles we see in Scripture that we often, again, get kind of mixed up and confused. One of them is the idea of holiness. The Bible says God is a holy and righteous and just God, and He calls His people to be holy too, and that's gotten a bad name. Again, this connotation that holiness means you've got this list of do's and don'ts, and the things you have to do are things you don't want to do, and the things you're not allowed to do are the things you want to do, and that's not what holiness is about. Holiness does mean we need to look at our lives and say, how do I need to live? What are things I need to stay away from? What are things that we should do? And as believers, we look to God's word and say, God, what do you say is the best way I should live? And that's what I want to do. But holiness literally means to be set apart. To be set apart from sin and set apart to God and to good and to what's right and to what's best. There's what means I'm going to make a choice and I want to leave behind everything that's bad and wrong and destructive. And the Bible calls that sin. And I want to dedicate myself and choose to do what is good and right and godly. That's what holiness is. And again, it's not God trying to spoil our fun. It's God saying, here is how you can live that fulfilled life. That life that Jesus said He came to give more abundantly. The idea of holiness, and then the idea of repentance. Repentance is a word we come across in Scripture, and basically what it means is that as we travel through this life and we realize we've made a wrong turn, we've made a wrong choice, we've chosen the wrong thing, that we come to God with sorrow in our hearts, but it's more than just sorrow. How many times have we been sorry for something, said, oh Lord, forgive me, and then we went on and did the same thing all over again? That's just sorrow. Repentance means we come to God and say, God, I am sorry, and I can't do it by myself, but I need your help. Okay? I want to turn around and go back the way I came. In other words, I'm headed the wrong direction, and I realize that now, and I'm sorry, and I ask that you forgive me, but I am going to make a deliberate choice to make a change and go back the right direction instead of pursuing the wrong direction. Repentance comes from a word that literally means to change your mind, but it has the connotation in the way of changing your mind in such a way that it's going to change your actions. Can I tell you, if you claim to have changed your mind about something, if it doesn't change your actions, you haven't really changed your mind. And so those are two areas that we need to deal with. And as we're talking about running this race, to doing it with diligence, to doing it to please God in our relationship with Him, to receive the results that will bring, that will come about. It may take a little while, but they're going to be good results in our lives and the lives of other people, to see that reward that we're going to receive both in this life and the life to come. Then we need to lay aside every sin that clings so closely, that so easily entangles, that ensnares us. That means an understanding of holiness. What is right? What is wrong? What does God have for us that is for our best interests? And it also means a willingness to repent when we look inside and say, you know what, God? I've been clinging to something, you know? It's been clinging to me, and I've been clinging to it. And it's wrong. It's wrong. I've made excuses. I think I'm the exception. I think I can get away with it. But Lord, I'm sorry. And we repent, and we come to Him, and we get rid of that. So The author of Hebrews says we need to lay aside every sin which clings so closely. And the second thing, which in his text is the first one, but the second one I'm dealing with, he says lay aside every weight. Lay aside every weight. Another translation says lay aside everything that hinders. We'll say, you might say to yourself, well, isn't that sin? Isn't sin a weight? Isn't it something that hinders? Yes, sin is, but see, sin is only one part of this category. What the author is trying to say here is that there are things that are sin, and we need to know what those are, and we need to deal with them in our lives. The definite black and white is, he says, but I think what he's trying to say here is that there are other things that may or may not be sin, but they can still hold you back. They can still trip you up. And you need to be aware of that. You know, there are things that you can get involved in your life. There are things that you can do. There are things that you can participate in that the Bible doesn't say they're sin. But because of the way you choose to get involved in them, they're going to hold you back in your relationship with God. They're going to hold you back in serving Him faithfully. They're going to hold you back from growing and maturing in Jesus Christ. They're going to hold you back from that best life that God has for you. And we need to be willing to recognize those things and get rid of them. Again, the author here of Hebrews, and Paul does the same thing, looks to the idea of an Olympic race. And the runners, when they're getting ready to run, they want to have the least amount of things holding them back as possible. And the idea of weight, of course, they train. They want to be the ideal weight, whatever that is, for that person, for that competition, whatever. You know, they don't want to have extra fat on them. They want the bulk that's muscle that's going to keep them going fast. But other than that, they don't want the extra weight. So they get rid of that. But they're also going to be concerned about not carrying extra weight. Last week, I referred to the ludicrous illustration of somebody who decides they're going to run a race, and they step up to the starting block, and they've got big old boots on and heavy, heavy clothes and a big overcoat, and they're carrying two big suitcases. Totally ludicrous picture. But can I tell you, sometimes we try to live life that way, spiritually speaking. We're going through life carrying such a burden of things that may not necessarily be wrong, but they're holding us back. They're holding us down. In fact, glad we don't do this now, in ancient Greece, many athletes would compete in the nude. Had nothing to do with sexuality or all that. It had to do, I don't want anything holding me back. I don't want any extra weight. I'm glad that today they're just concerned about having the right uniforms and shoes that are going to be the best for whatever they're involved in. Okay. But what are some of these things? Let me just give you a couple categories. And you need to look in your own heart and in your own life, because as I said, for many of these things, they're not sin. And for one person, they may be totally fine. And for another, it's going to be something that's going to hold them back. It could be an activity. An activity. It could be a certain activity or the amount of time we spend on a certain activity. All right? Let me just give you some examples. Watching TV. We always need to make discerning decisions about what we watch on TV. And what we listen to and what we read and all that kind of stuff. You know, we don't want to feed our minds with trash. And that which is going to be ungodly, and that in itself is going to tear us down and hold us back. But in general, there are a number of good things you can watch on TV. But even the good things can become a weight if we're spending too much time at it. You know? If we're so wrapped up in that we don't have time to seek God and to read His Word. You may have a favorite hobby. It may be a great thing. It's good to have a hobby, better than just sitting around doing nothing or something that's not constructive. But sometimes our hobbies can take hold in our lives. And we give up so much time and energy and effort and money to it that it holds us back in our spiritual walk. I know for me, I love to read. I always have, ever since I first learned in first grade. Love to read. Read all the time. There have been so many times in my life that I actually had to pull back on my reading because I was reading so much for such an extended period of time that I was not doing other things that I needed to be doing. And I still have to govern that in my life. Some other areas, athletics can be this way. Athletics are good things. The internet. How many of you know that you can just decide to pop on the internet and just see what's going on and check things out, and the next thing you know, you look up and 2 hours have gone by? Especially when you add the other things in here like YouTube, social media, all that kind of stuff. I know something that's been popular for a long time. Video games. Is there anything wrong with video games? Well, it depends on the game, I imagine. But we can end up spending so much time, putting so much effort into that, it becomes one of these things that hinder us. Again, these things may not be sin, they may not be right or wrong, but how they apply or how you apply them, how you participate them in your life can be a hindrance, can hold you back. Another thing that can be one of these hindrances, one of these weights, is a relationship. You all know there are certain relationships that help you in your walk with God. But there's also the potential of relationships that'll hold you back. There are times that if things don't change, we may need to cut off a relationship with someone else. Or we may cut back on the amount of time we spend with certain people. Now, this does not apply to your family. We are in families, good, bad, right, or wrong. And I'm not trying to say there are not certain circumstances under which a marriage cannot cease to function that way. But I'm saying in general, in God's plan, he puts us together in families. And one of the purposes of that, I think, is to mold us and to shape us and help us to learn how to knock the rough edges off of each other and learn to get along. But other than that, you know, our friendships, the people we hang out with and spend the most time with at school or at work or whatever, I think we need to take a serious look and say, are these people that are helping me grow closer to Jesus along the way? And if they're not Christians, you know, they're not keeping me back. We need to look at that. And can I just throw this out there too? For those of you that are single, someone that you would consider dating or marrying, I mean, it's great if they're handsome or beautiful, good looking, whatever. It's great if they've got the physique that you just think's wonderful. It's great if they have this, that, and the other on your checklist. But you know something that should be at the top of your checklist? Is this somebody that helps me grow closer to Jesus, or is this somebody that's getting in the way? Oh, but they're just that right. But you know what? Long term. Let's go on. Another thing that can hold us back is a habit or an addiction. Something that's going to hold us back. You know, even looking to the past and focusing on that more than the present and the future can hold us back. A focus on past accomplishments or failures. Either one. Paul talks about that in Philippians chapter 3. I encourage you to go back and read that this week. He talks about how he loved and had a zeal for God. And his zeal for God, he missed that Jesus was the Messiah. So he ended up persecuting Christians. But he says, you know, in my zeal for God, I tried to do everything right. And I did this and this and this and this. And all good stuff. But it held him back from coming to know Jesus. And he talks about how looking back now, all the stuff that he did right and all the stuff that he did wrong, he's not going to let it hold him back from going forward with what God had for him. In the same way, sometimes we have a tendency to live in the past. Or even if we don't live there, we dwell there for long periods of time. Or we spend too much time looking back. Whether it's to the good old days or to the failures and the things that make me feel like I can't go on because I've never amounted to anything. Good or bad, either way, that focus can be one of those weights, can be one of those things that are holding us back. And the last category, and there are probably any number, is an attitude. There are attitudes that we can hold on to. There are attitudes that we can't work on changing with God's help that are going to hold us back. Some may fall in the category of sin. Some may not be a sin unless you take them to a certain degree, whatever. But things like bitterness and unforgiveness and negativity and doubt and fear, anger. That's not so much an attitude as a state of mind, but you understand what I'm saying. The author of Hebrews is saying we need to get rid of anything that weighs us down, diverts our attention, saps our energy, or dampens our enthusiasm for our walk with the Lord. As I've mentioned several times, Paul uses the same illustration, and Paul and Peter both use very similar language. And again, I encourage you, you know, I say these things on purpose when I preach. You might want to check this out this next week or whatever, and I really encourage you to do that. But a couple of passages I want to encourage you to check out next week, and I'm just going to mention a couple thoughts. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 17 to 32. I'm not going to read that. But basically, in this passage, Paul is talking about how Jesus Christ has changed your life. But we're still all in a process of changing. And now that we have come to know God through Jesus Christ, There are certain things that we need to stop doing and certain things we need to start doing. We need to start lining up with what God has for us. And in that passage in Ephesians 4, he says we need to put off our old self. In other words, we need to get rid of the stuff that used to be true of us that's not what it should be. And he goes on to talk about putting on certain things. And I find it interesting that the same language is used here. The author of Hebrews says we need to put off these weights. Paul says we need to put off these things. And just to give you a quick summary of some of the things he talks about in that chapter, he says we should put off falsehood, theft, corrupt talk, bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, slander, malice, unkindness, hard-heartedness, and unforgiveness. In a letter he wrote probably about the same time, Colossians, Paul says something very similar in Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 to 17. Again, I encourage you to read that later. He says, put to death. This is a different way. He says, put to death. There's certain things in your life you need to kill. Okay? You got to do it in. You got to get rid of it. He says, put to death or put away. And he mentions specifically sexual immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, covetousness, anger, wrath, malice, slander, obscene talk, lies. Peter says something similar in 1 Peter 2:1. His is a lot shorter. I guess he wasn't as long-winded as Paul was. But Peter says, so put away all malice and all deceit and hypocrisy and envy and all slander. In other words, it's not just the external things. It's not just the things we give our time over. In fact, I'll be honest with you. I think some of the most serious things that we have to deal with and some of the hardest to recognize and to get rid of are the things that reside in our hearts. As I was preparing this message, this was going to be just a kind of a side issue, but just a minor point. But I just felt like God says, wait here for just a moment. And look at your own heart. And encourage you that are here and you that are online or watching this video later to look at your own heart. What is residing there that is holding you back? That to the best of your understanding and knowledge of God and his word, you know, that really isn't the way it should be. Are we holding on to bitterness because of something someone's done to me? Unforgiveness? Anger? I want to tell you something. We just look over the last year and a half. There's a lot of things in the natural, in the flesh, to be really angry and bitter and frustrated. And those are all things we're going to feel. But do we hold on to them? Do we allow them to get a root in our heart and to grow? And they're not easy to weed out. Have you noticed that weeds in your garden are a lot stronger than the plants that are supposed to be there? And you can weed them out and they're going to come back. But if you pull up your tomatoes or cucumbers, they're not coming back. Not unless you plant some more. That's just the way weeds are. That's the way sin is. That's the way this stuff in our life that gets roots and grows and holds us back. What is it for you? What slows you down? What holds you back in your relationship with God? And let me just throw this other idea out before we move on. First of all, I mentioned sin. Sin is sin. Black and white, those things that God's word speaks clearly about. If he says it's sin for everybody. If he says it's sin for everybody. There are certain things he told his people in the Old Testament that were sin that no longer apply to us today. Okay, they couldn't eat pork. I mean, a number of laws that he had in covenant with his people. But when God makes it clear in his word that something is sin, it's black and white, that's the way it is for everybody. But some of these issues, they're different for different people. Can I tell you that as you seek to follow the Lord, there may be an activity that he will speak to your heart and says, you know what, you really don't need to be involved in that because that's going to hold you back. You're going to have a tendency to maybe get addicted to it, or you're going to have a tendency to want to give too much time to it. It's better if you don't get involved at all. And then you see another Christian involved in that. It's like, that's sin. You shouldn't be doing that. But God's word doesn't say that. You know, some of the things I mentioned, you know, certain games or, you know, whatever, the things that aren't clear. And so we need to look at our own hearts and our own lives to see what is holding us back and not be judgmental of others who are involved in things that God's told us not to be involved in, but the Bible doesn't say it's sin, and it's like, just let it go. So before we wrap this up, I just want to give you a couple of really important considerations. These are the two main things. We need to let go, get rid of the sin, and even if it's not sin, the other things that weigh us down, hold us back, but a couple of other important considerations in this verse where he says, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely. That phrase, lay aside, it means get rid of it. It means get rid of it. Another translation says, throw it off. The idea isn't like, oh, let me kind of ease this out of my life. I got to do something about this sooner or later. The idea is this is causing you problems. Get rid of it. We need to do it now. Don't just say, well, I'm going to carry it a little bit further in the race. I'll deal with it later. Again, if you could picture that runner up at the starting block and they've got two big suitcases and they feel convicted, so they leave one behind. And they're going to carry the other one, but only for a little bit. However long that little bit gets to be. Maybe a little bit further. It was a ludicrous picture, but how many times do we do that? With things in our life that are holding us back, that are holding us down, that are tripping us up, with attitudes in our heart. It's like, I know I need to deal with it, but I'm going to hold on to it. It feels so good. For a while, sometimes it just feels good. I'll deal with it later. I'll deal with it later. Don't carry it. Get rid of it. Get rid of it and do it now. Why carry it any longer? Don't put it off. The second consideration I want to deal with real quickly, it says every. Notice that, lay aside every weight and sin. And that every applies to the sin, to every. Don't hold on to some. Now, as we grow in Christ, we are all still growing and maturing, and we're making progress. And there are still things in each of our lives, including mine, that still aren't exactly right, and I'm working on that. But I'm a lot farther along and doing a lot better than I was 40 years ago, 30 years ago, 20 years ago, 10 years ago. Hopefully better than I was doing a year ago and last month. But we can't just say, well, at least I got that problem taken care of, and this problem taken care of, and that problem. I'm going to keep this one. We need to, before God, say, God, I don't want anything. And may we do it with joy and with love and a desire to please God, knowing it's what's best for us, not just, I have to. But say, God, I want to get rid of everything, anything. There are times that I pray, and I'll be honest with you, sometimes I pray with trepidation. Lord, show me if there's anything in my life that isn't exactly the way you want it to be. Anything that's not pleasing to you, anything I need to change. And I say it with trepidation because maybe there's things that aren't bad, they're not sin, but God might want me to change them and I really don't want to. But I pray it anyway and try to do my best to follow whatever I think he lays on my heart. It'd be so easy to have this thought, but I've got a good reason to hold on to this thing. Every, don't hold on to some. And the last one, this third one, he starts it off with let us. Let us. In other words, we need to take responsibility for ourselves. You need to take responsibility for yourself. Now, the problems you have, the things you're involved in, may not only be there because of your own efforts. Somebody else may have gotten you involved. Somebody else may have brought you to a situation because of your relationship with them. It led to something happening or something being the way it is. But you are where you are now. And before God, you need to do whatever God would say, with my help, you can do this. And you need to take responsibility for it. Even if where you are is not totally your fault, you still have responsibility for where you go from now. Too often we like to blame everyone and everything else but ourselves. Well, I do this, or I am this, or I am this way because of this, because of that, because of the other, and that goes all the way back to the Garden of Eden. When God confronted Adam and Eve, Adam said, it's because of that woman that you gave me. Eve said, it's because of that snake. You know? And there's some truth to all that. But the ultimate responsibility was Adam's, was Eve's. So again, you may find yourself in a situation that, man, you would have avoided it every way you could have if you could have. But somehow, circumstances, a person, somebody got you in. But you're where you are now, and you are responsible for where you're going from now on. And how you're headed. And so we need to stop blaming everyone and anyone else or anything else and look to God. And can I tell you, God will help us. And I'm so thankful that others will help us. God has put us together to encourage and strengthen and support and help one another. Because you know, there are a lot of burdens that we carry that we can't handle by ourselves. And granted, God could just step in and do it just me and God. And there are some things we will face in life. It is going to be just me and God. But there's any number of things that he wants us to grow in relationship with one another. And so he encourages us and he tells us to reach out to others and to be there for others. But the thing is we have to do what we can. because we're ultimately responsible. I thought of it this way. If you were to determine for whatever reason that you needed to and wanted to go on a diet, who is ultimately going to be responsible to whether you carry that out and actually lose the weight or get into the shape you want to be in? You are. I mean, you can ask God to help you, and can I tell you, God will help you. You can ask other people to help you. Say, hey, listen, I want to develop a really good diet for my lifestyle, my body shape. There's so many different diets out there based on all kinds of stuff, and it's crazy. But anyway, you know, and you could go to some expert. You could go to whoever, somebody you know, and say, hey, help me design a diet that's going to be great for me to get to where I want to be. And they can help you. And God says, I'll help you with your, you know, your self-control and all that kind of stuff. But when it comes right down to it, who's going to make the choices? Let's say God says, I'm right there with you. I'm going to help you. And you got somebody that's helping, and they're encouraging you, and they're helping to hold you accountable. But you get up at 3 o'clock in the morning, and you sneak into the kitchen, and you get to your stash. Whose choice is that? It's mine. And the same thing is true with whatever it is that we wrestle with, that we're carrying around, where it's holding us back. God will help us. Believe me, God wants us. God wants you. God wants me to succeed. But he's not going to do it for you. And we should be there for each other. But we can't make your decisions for you. You can't make the decisions for me. I think that's part of the idea behind Philippians chapter 2, verses 12 and 13, where Paul says, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you to will and to act according to his good purpose. Now, without digging too deeply into this, this isn't saying that you have to work real hard to be saved. Our salvation is dependent upon the death of Jesus Christ on the cross and our trust in him. But he says, as you work out that salvation, or as you live out the consequences, the result of the life that should flow from your salvation, he says, work it out. Work on it. With fear and trembling, not because you're going to be judged if you don't do it just right, but you want to get it right. He says, but the good news is that God will work in you. And I like what he says here, for God works in you to will and to act. In other words, even if you don't want to do it, God can help change the wanting. Sort of like what Misty shared up here a little while ago about, even if you don't feel it, say, God, I want to feel it. I want the right thing. And God will help you with that. And he'll help you with the carrying it out. There's a saying I came up with a long time ago. I can't remember if I found it, if I made it up. And it just basically says, without God, we cannot. But without us, he will not. In other words, in many things, not all things, but in many things that involve, especially those areas where God calls us to make the choices ourselves and to carry them out, sometimes there are things that we cannot do by ourselves. Without God, we can't do it. But neither will God do it for us. He expects us to do our part. And the same thing is true with getting rid of the weights. We need to quit making excuses. Some may find it harder than others because of their circumstances, because of the other people in there, because of how they got where they are. But we need to quit making excuses and say, God, here I am. This is where I'm at. I want to pursue you. I want to live the life you have for me. And this is holding me back. And it's not easy. And I can't do it without you. And I pray that you'd help me. And then just begin to follow the Lord's leading and take advantage of the strength and the ability that he will give you. If he asks you for it, he'll enable you to do it. Can we all stand together? We're all in this race. As we talked about last week, we need to look to the joy. God has joy for us at the end, but he's got joy for us along the way. Even in the midst of the difficulties, we can face and experience his joy. But we got to look beyond the difficulties we're facing to do that. But today, God's speaking to us about what in your life may be holding you back. As I spoke and dealt with different topics and categories or whatever, I firmly believe that if you were sensitive to God's Spirit and there was something he wants you to work on, he probably began to whisper to you about that. And so in the next couple of minutes, I'm going to invite our staff, Pastor Henry and Emma and Pastor Jan, our elders that are here and you're available, to come down front, because we're going to conclude like we always do. The worship team will lead a song. And if you need prayer for anything, it may have absolutely nothing to do with the message, please come. We'll be glad to pray with you if you're comfortable doing that. We'll have our masks on. If you want to come down and pray on your own, find a, just pass us up and come down here front or whatever. But in these next couple of moments, I encourage you to meditate on what God has spoken today. This has been God's word, not just mine. And just honestly say, God, what in my life is holding me back? What is tripping me up? What is hindering me? And it may not even be a big thing, and it may not be holding you back all that much, but God would speak to you and say, you know, if you would just adjust this, if you just change that, we could run a lot faster and get a lot farther, and you'd be so glad for it. And I encourage and challenge you to deal with that before God. So let's spend that time together, and I'll come back in just a couple of moments and close in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, that even though you call us to a life that at times can be difficult to live, you always promise to be with us, to help us, to strengthen us, to encourage us. And Lord, you always have our best interests in mind. God, we're mindful of the fact that life without you is hard to live, and we don't even have you to help. So may we never envy the wicked. May we never envy those who are lost without you, who are wandering, but yet seem to be having such a wonderful time. God, I pray that you put within our hearts a desire to love and serve you with a passion. Put within our hearts a desire to do what we know is right by your word, even when our flesh tells us something else, that we would say, God, I really don't want to go that way, but you say that's what I should do, so I'm going to trust you. And Lord, may that motivate us to just pursue you and your path for us. And I thank you that as we do, Lord God, you work in our lives, you bring victory. We have reward in this life and in the life to come. We have a relationship with you. God, I pray that this message would continue to echo and reverberate in our hearts and our minds, and that you would speak to us. And not just today and in this next week, but as we walk with you, Lord, I pray that our hearts would be open and sensitive, our consciences would be sensitive, that we would be sensitive to the voice of your Holy Spirit, that you could speak to us and say, you know what, you might want to adjust this area of your life. I think it'd be best if you cut back here, if you do that, or if you work this way. And that we'd be so sensitive and so willing to say, okay, Lord, whatever you say. We all struggle with it, Lord. And God, for the difficult choices we must make, and then the strength we need to carry out those choices, because it is not easy sometimes. We depend on you because we can't do it without you. But Lord, help us to take the step that we need. And God, I pray also that we would be there for each other. I pray that you would give to each and every one of us, if we do not already have one, friends, brothers and sisters that we grow closer and closer to, that we can share anything with, and that we can support and encourage them, and they can support and encourage us as we share our struggles. May we continue to grow in that. And God, I thank you that all that is possible in Jesus Christ. But God, first of all, I thank you that Jesus did go to the cross so that we could be saved from our sins and have a relationship with you. And Lord, I haven't really mentioned that today, but for anyone who may be here or maybe listening or watching, if they are not where they need to be with you, and maybe they even thought they were, but they're not, and today you've spoken to their heart, may they cry out to you to repent of their sins, to turn to you, to ask for forgiveness based on what Jesus has done, and surrender their life for you and begin this race. Father, thank you. Help us now as we leave this place to run our race well and strong this week. We give you the glory and the honor in Jesus' name. Amen.
We hope you've enjoyed listening to today's message or Bible study. For more information, please contact us at area code 352-347-3001 or visit us online. If you are interested in supporting this ministry, go to our website and click on the online giving tab. Our website address is www.marionoaksag.org.